Isaiah was a prophet in the 700s BC, 1700 years before the birth of Jesus. Whenever we do Isaiah, we always think it's Christmas, right? Or it's a little bit before Easter because we see the story of predicting that the Messiah will come one day and how he's going to suffer. And this is an amazing story here. So Isaiah was a scribe for most of his life. You know what a scribe is? It's like a lawyer. It's like a teacher. It's like someone who can make sense of the legal documents because most people couldn't read. So we need the educated class. The Jewish people were very bright. Many, many Jewish people could read. Jesus could read. He was just a simple carpenter, Robbie, like us, banging nails and everything, but he could read back then. Not many people could. That's a neat thing. So Isaiah was working in the temple, and there he is. He's for most of his life. And God gives him a prophecy. And one day Isaiah's walking around, and he's not a prophet yet. He's still a scribe, and he hear this in chapter 6 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The world is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." "And go and tell the people this," the Lord says, "be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their eyes dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and they hear with their ears and they might understand with their hearts. And then they would turn to be healed." Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant. Until the houses are left deserted and the fields are ruined and ravages. Until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as a terebinth and the oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." That's the word of God. Amen. What's that mean? There's a lot here. I got 40 pages and I'm sweating. If you look at the beginning of the book of Matthew, the first chapter, we see it starts off with Abraham being the father of Isaac, being the father of Jacob, being the father of Judah, being the father of Perez, being the father of all the way down to a man named Jesse, right? And we find this man named Jesse, but Jesse had a parent. His father was named Obed, and Obed's father was who? Who was Obed's mother, actually? Ruth? You know. It was Ruth. You guys remember that book, Ruth? Your God will be my God. I will go where you go, right? That's that faithfulness from a mother and a daughter-in-law. We love that. And we use it at weddings, but it's out of context, isn't it, Ben? Because it's about a mother-in-law following a daughter. It's not a husband and wife. But we see that, you know, that Ruth finds her redeemer, and it's Boaz. And he takes her into his home. And they have a son named Obed. And they have a son named Jesse. And Jesse has a son named who, folks? King David. You got 8 boys, right? 8. 8 boys, and there's David. And so we see in Matthew this line all goes down to King Uzziah and down to King Jotham and Jim and King Ahaz and King Hezekiah. These are the line of David. From them is going to come Jesus. And so we see that now Isaiah is drawn up into heaven. Can you imagine going up there? What's it going to be like? Well, he goes up there and he sees the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And his train is so big it fills the temple. That's how big God is. He doesn't really see God. He just sees his bottom of his hems. It fills the entire church. And up there somewhere, beneath the smoke, Behind the smoke is the face of God, which you can't see, right? Nobody can see God. We know that Moses couldn't see him. He had to hide behind a rock as God walked by. Jacob didn't see him, but he wrestled with him. And then when sun came, of course, God said, enough of this. You lose. And so we see God filling the entire temple. He's so big. And above him were seraphim. It's this creature with six wings. Go figure. Use your imagination. I don't know what this looks like. He's got six wings, friend. Two of them cover his face, and he covers his feet, and he's flying around. And he sees this. One thing that Isaiah realizes is he's in the presence of God. And they call to one another. They say, holy, holy, holy. Why do they say holy, holy, holy three times? Hebrew doesn't, this is interesting, they don't have a word for very. They don't say God is very, very good. They say holy, holy, holy. He is that superlative. He is holy three times. When they say the man fell into a very deep pit, they don't say very deep, they say pit, pit. The finest gold that is pure is gold, gold. You see? And so there they were, they're calling that he is holy, holy, holy. He is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of the glory. And when they say these words, the whole place starts shaking and filled with smoke. And we saw that on Ascension Day, right, folks? Because Jesus went into heaven through the clouds, right? Even Jesus followed what it says in Leviticus. You don't go to the temple of the Lord and see him. There's a cloud in front of you. Even when you go back to the back of the temple, you got to have incense burning. You can't go into his presence without smoke to protect you. And what does he say? He realizes this. He says, woe unto me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And at that moment, one of those seraphims flew over with a coal in his hand, with tongs. You sometimes think these stories aren't fairy tales, are they? Once upon a time, because they put in details that he had tongs. If he's a heavenly creature, you think he could just grab with his hands, but even for him, it's too hot. I love details like that. They even make me think a little harder, you know? Too much, right? The tongs, he couldn't grab them with his hand. He needed tongs. And he touched his mouth, and he says, your guilt's taken away, and you're atoned for. It's hot. I'm going to get moving, all right? You see, in this world, we keep thinking, you know, that we've had problems with our churches. We're supposed to all come together. If we want Jesus to come back and bring peace, what does it say? God says, I'll be back when the nations get along. How are we doing? Pretty bad. When the churches come together, that's when Jesus will come back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring peace. How are we doing in the churches? We're just splitting apart today. At this time, we're not doing so good. So what does he say? We think it's about us. There's a big proclamation of be who you are. Oprah says it's so important just to be yourself. Be your authentic self. You wouldn't like me as myself. I got to be better than that. You've known me for 50 years, Robbie. You know, we go back a ways, Kim. I have to put, not that I'm faking it, I just got to be better than what I am. And my real desires. What do I really want to do? I want to sit all on the couch, drink beer, and eat chicken wings all day, every day. That's all I want to do. Can I get away with that? No. That's what I really... She'd be like, nope. My neighbor had a liver transplant. She's doing really well. And boy, she just says, I can't take care of you anymore, to her live-in boyfriend. Out the door he went with the police escort. I'm not a nosy neighbor. Yes, I am. I'm mowing my grass. You know, what's happening? Get inside. There's guns. Can't take it. We have to be something better. And look at this man, Isaiah. What's he been doing? He's been working the temple. He knows the scriptures. He thinks he's probably a pretty good guy, right? We're all going to heaven, right? We're good people, right? We're all going to get there. With all these people thinking my lifestyle is what's important, it needs to be front and center. And so what happens when even a man of God, this good guy, even a man like me, right, a man of God, gets in front of God? What does he realize? One thing this world needs to realize, when we stand in front of God, what are we? We are despicable. We think we're good. We think our kids are good. No, you're not, Fran. We are wicked. We need to, even me. We are wicked and we are evil. We can't stand there in the throne room of heaven. When we see God, it will crush us. Unless, right, Ben? Always, there's a catch, isn't there? So the seraphim, this winged thingy with six wings, flies. He's got a coal in his hand. And we know that fire is a symbol of God, isn't it? We see at the Garden of Eden, what are the angels holding in their hands to keep us out of paradise? Flaming swords, right? And we see Moses goes to see the burning bush that doesn't consume himself. We see the fire leading the people out of Egypt and to the Mount Sinai. And there the mountain of fire and of smoke. Abraham, he makes a deal with God. And what's the deal made with? You know what it means to cut a deal? He makes a deal. I'll be your God and you will follow me. They do. They take animals and they cut them in half. They cut the deal. And Abraham and the father walk down. And how is God represented? He's a smoking fire pot, isn't he? He is flame. We know that fire is powerful and it purifies. And what happens when we get too close to the fire? We get burned up, right? He takes fire. And with the fire, he is healed. He says, see, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin is what? Atoned for. Now we have atonement. Then God starts talking, right? Because over here is Isaiah in the corner, right? He's been redeemed. And so God's there. Who is he talking to? He's not talking to himself, right? We always know who he's talking to, don't we? You know, Jesus comes early, right? We think he comes there in Matthew and Mark and Luke, but he's there already. What does God say when he makes the universe? He says, let's make this together. Who is he making with? Let us make man in our image. And we see him on the battlefield of Jericho. And we see him in the fiery furnace there in Daniel. He's talking with somebody. Who shall I send? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. But then God gives him this warning. He says, go and tell the people, be ever hearing, never understanding, and be ever seeing, but never perceiving. He's going to say this to him. You're a preacher now. You're a prophet now, Isaiah. You're going to go out there, and people aren't going to listen. You believe that? People aren't going to believe what I had to say? Crazy, Tom. What are they, nuts? No, this is what people are going to do. Keep preaching the word, he says. Until when? How long should I do this for people to not listen? Forever, he says, right? Never stop until it all comes apart. It all falls apart. When's that going to come? We see that. Let's turn a page to Isaiah 7. You know this one. It is Christmas time, right? This is when King Uzziah dies and Ahaz takes over. This is significant because when Uzziah was in charge, there was peace in the land. And as soon as that king died, everyone knew there was weakness. There's weakness in Judah, in Israel. So they're coming for you, right? Ahaz, but God says to Ahaz, you know chapter 7, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign. What does Ahaz say? I don't want a sign. I don't want to test God. It says so right there in Deuteronomy 6:16, right? I'm not going to test you. Jesus said that when he was fighting the devil. I won't put the Lord to the test. Isaiah loses his mind. When God says you want something, you take it, Tom, right? You want something, I'll give it to you. Hear you, house of David, is not enough to try the patience of human. Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. And we know what that is, don't we? That a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. We know where that atonement's coming from, don't we? That's in heaven. It's going to come from the Son. Who is God with us? Chapter 9, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful. He will be called Counselor. He will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah goes on. Who is Isaiah talking about? He doesn't know, but it comes to him, and we get to see it. Remember that tree that's cut down? Everything's gone. The cities are destroyed, but there's one tree, the terebinth and the oak are cut down, and it's a stump. And it's a stump of who? Chapter 11 tells us. They never leave us hanging here, do they? Chapter 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. We know who Jesse is, right? He had 8 sons. One was David. From his branch, it will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on this stump, that this branch that rises, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He will delight in the Lord. He will not. We know who that is, right? He's going to send his son one day. He's going to send a counselor. He's going to send a wonderful lady. He's sending our Redeemer, the one that will atone us from our sins. So what's going to happen to this son? Well, we go to chapter 53. You know that one. He's going to suffer. He's going to take our stripes. He will take our punishment, and then we will be healed. Then Jesus pops on the scene there in Luke chapter 4. What happens when I go to Luke chapter 4, folks? What's that mean? I'm panicking. No, I'm not. That's my favorite verse, because look what Jesus comes into his hometown of Nazareth. He stands before everybody. He says, give me the book of Isaiah. He opens it up to verse chapter 61, and he reads to the people, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, to proclaim good news to the poor, to set up to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release darkness for the prisoners. He's anointed me. Jesus said in front of his friends and family and all who know him, I am the anointed one. I am the what? The Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. It's me. Boy, that book of Isaiah is amazing. You gonna run home and read that tonight? That's some good. There's only 66 chapters. You can buzz through it in no time. Then you can read my commentary with it. That's a heck of a book. Boy, does God keep his promises, doesn't he? He tells Isaiah what's going to happen. Isaiah doesn't know. He can't see this. And it happens, doesn't it? We can't get close to God. You'll never see him face to face with the sin and the wretchedness of our lives. But we will see him when Jesus takes away all of our sin, all of our blame. We'll be white as snow, he promised there in Isaiah, right? The scarlet will be wiped away, and we'll be like clean wool, white and clean. That's what Jesus is going to make us. And that's the story we got to tell to a world that will never listen to us. We have to do it anyway until the ends of the earth. Until then, peace will come when everything is laid waste and there's one stump left. Would you pray with me? We're like, thank goodness. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words. We thank you for putting in Isaiah's mouth the words to say that we need to hear. That one day we will be in the throne rooms of heaven. We are people of unclean lips, but you make us clean. We are covered in rags, but you will give us a new robe. You will make us white as snow. Because we believe in Jesus Christ. We say with our lips and with our hearts and with all of our soul, heart, and mind that he is Lord. We lay it down at the feet of Jesus. We need the atonement. We need it. We beg for it. And you give it to us freely, freely given to us. Thank you for all came here today to share the word of God, to hear the good news that there is hope. There is page after page of hope. God will give us plenty of time to repent, to change our ways. And when we do, he will heal our land. Go in peace. Remember what was done for you on the battlefield and at the cross, that you are forgiven, you are loved, and there are people who would die for you. No greater gift than to die for one another, it says in John. So we go in peace today and we go in love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.